I want you to take your Bible this morning, go over to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to be toward the end of the chapter. And this is the last chapter in the book. Paul is closing out his first epistle, and that to the church at Thessalonica. And as he has given them some, I guess you would say, some sundry instructions or some sundry duties, I just want to look at one of them right here in verse 21. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21, I ask you to stand to your feet today. And I will read this one verse and then we'll preach a while what God has given us. I desire your prayers and I need the help of God today. We can't do anything without Him. And I'll be honest with you, church, you need Him too. Amen. You need God to move in your life, and that's my desire. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us preach right now. We thank you, Lord, for your wonderful mercy and your grace. But Lord, we thank you for that record book that our name is written in. We thank you for that today. That God, we have an assurity of salvation because we trusted you and put our faith in you. Lord, I pray that if there's one here that's lost, I pray they'd come to get saved. Somebody that needs help, I pray that help would be met today. And Lord, I pray you strengthen us while we might preach. Help us in this message, and might your children get some help today. For this in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated today. I want to preach with a thought of simply holding fast. Holding fast. Now he says, prove all things. Now that word prove means to try by experiment or by test. And so everything that me and you have in our Christian life today and in our life, we need to prove it, whether it is right or whether it's wrong. We make that judgment, and that not by our feelings, but simply by the Word of God. I can tell you something. You ever had somebody come and ask you, what do you think about this or think about that? And really what they're wanting you to do is justify what they're wanting to do. Now, on occasion, you'll find somebody that really don't know and really want to learn, and that's a good thing. But here he said to prove all things, everything in your home, everything in your life, everything that you do, you need to prove out, and that by the Word of God. And let me say this, once you prove it, then you know whether you can do it or not, whether you can have it in your life. Or, you know, I don't consult the Word of God about everything that I do in my life. Why? I've already done that. I've already found out, yeah, I can do this. Or no, I don't need to be doing this. And so what I do is I prove all things. And then he said this, hold fast that which is good. And that's simply what I want to preach on today, is holding fast. When we find something good for our life and for our home and for our children and for our church, then we need to hold fast to it and do it. Listen, what does the word hold fast mean? It's a thing. Webster's 1828 said it's a thing that takes hold. Well, that makes sense, don't it? It's a hold fast. Oxford, the dictionary, said to remain tightly secured. And I believe one of them said to have a firm grip. I asked Miss Latham on the way home from service last night. I said, what does, if I tell you to hold fast to something, what does that mean? And she started to answer me, and then she didn't. I said, no, just go ahead and tell me what it means to you. And she said, that means to hold on for dear life. And I begin to think about that, even in that, that when we hold fast to something, we're holding on with everything that we got. What we have today is, if we're not careful, when he told us to hold fast, he tells us to hold fast for one reason, because if we're not careful, we'll let some things slip away. Hebrews chapter 2 said, therefore we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. He said we let things slip if we ain't careful. Come up here, Jeremiah. I'm going to use him. He didn't know I was going to do this today. There ain't no money in this, so don't get excited. And so take that from me right there. Take it from me. Now, the reason I asked Jeremiah to come take it from me is because I know he'll do what I tell him to do. Amen. Take that from my hand, brother. All right. So I let it slip out of my hand. I did. I let it slip. Now let me have it back. Okay. No, let me have it back. Hey. No, you ain't done yet, brother. You ain't done yet. He said that we let it slip. Now, at least I can give it to him. And that's what's happening to a lot of things. We're just giving stuff up today. We're giving stuff up way too easy. We're not holding nothing. And then he takes it. Take it from me. He takes it. Take it from me. He takes it from me. And listen, we let things slip away if we ain't careful. But when he talks about holding fast, I'll take that thing from me. I'll take it from me. But when we hold fast, take it from me. Take it from me. I'm serious. But when we're holding fast, you see what's going on? I was fighting for... Go ahead and sit down, brother. Thank you. I knew Jeremiah would do what I asked him to do. But when we're holding fast, we're holding on to it for dear life. And we're holding a grip on it so tight that we can't let it be took away. He said in the book of Revelation chapter 3 to the church at Philadelphia, he said, "Behold, I come quickly." He said, "Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." Now, it's a little comical up here this morning that I give it to him or I let it slip away from me or that I held on as fast as I could. But when it comes to the things of God, we need to hold fast. I want to look at three things today that the Bible tells us that we need to hold fast to. First of all, let me say quickly by way of introduction that he tells us there are some things that we shouldn't hold fast to. Jeremiah chapter 8, when he talks about the children of Israel, he said, "Why then is this people of Jerusalem sin back for perpetual backsliding? They hold fast to deceit and they refuse to return." You know what they were doing? They were holding on to what they wanted to hold on to, but it was the wrong thing. Listen, they didn't want to serve God. They didn't want to be faithful to God. They wanted to serve other gods. And Jeremiah was telling them, look, you're holding on to deceit, to a lie. And you're going to have to turn loose of that thing. But they would never do that. They held on to it as much as they could. Can I tell you today that what is important to you is what you'll hold on to. What is most important to you is what you'll keep sometimes when you shouldn't even keep it. Listen, you know, God looks in our secret places, in the secret depths of our heart, where we hide everything that nobody else can see and that nobody else knows about. And we hide that stuff thinking we're hiding it from God and holding on as tight as we can when we ought to just let it go. Maybe it's some kind of sin. Maybe it's bitterness. Maybe it's hatefulness. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's who knows what it might be. But friend, I'm telling you today, maybe it's some kind of sin you think you've got hid from me and from everybody else. But I'm going to tell you something. God knows. God knows and God knows what you're holding on to this morning. But I want to look at three things that the Bible tells us that we need to hold fast to. Take your Bible and go to the book of Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and look in verse 12. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. He tells us we need to hold on to our profession. Hold on in Hebrews chapter 12 or 4, excuse me. In Hebrews 4 and 12, he said, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder the soul and the spirit of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is made that is not manifest in his sight." You know, God knows it all, don't he? You know what? That word of God gets down on the inside of you. Listen, what did it say right there? "That's piercing, dividing asunder the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." And then he said, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Listen, God knows it all. He sees it all. You can't hide it from him. When the word of God is preached, you know why I got my wagon loaded. Last night the preacher was preaching the book. Amen. I love it. I love this old book because it's what's made a difference in my life, and it'll make one in yours too. In verse 14, "Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which can cannot be touched with a fin of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. Listen, he said this, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful. That promise, the first thing men you need to hold fast to is the profession of our faith. Listen, what is the profession of our faith? That's the gospel and that of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've believed that and put your trust and faith in him, you have something you can hold on to. Ain't you glad you got something today that's real and on the inside? But the world, religion, is trying to take that thing away. It's trying to rip it away from us. Listen, the devil, Satan, is trying to take yours. I'm glad today I'm saved eternally. I can't get lost again. Listen, I'm not lost now. I was lost then. I'm found now. I was lost then. I'm saved now. And I'm saved for eternity. And I'm dependent on Christ Jesus the Lord to get me to heaven. Amen. But he said, hold fast your profession of faith. What is your profession of faith? What is that? How do you know that you're saved? I said, the gospel. Listen, the argument today is what can save a man. It ain't good works. It's that we're fixing to celebrate and that the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's exactly what it is. And when you get saved, that's exactly what happens to you. You die and you get buried in him and raised in him. That's what that watery grave back here is all about. It's symbolic. I got thinking about that. Just like that ring is symbolic to my marriage, to my wife. That's what that ring is. But do you realize that if I don't wear that ring, am I not married anymore? Well, no, I'm still married. It's a symbol of my relationship and my marriage to my wife. You realize that that water back there is nothing no more, and I think you ought to, but it's a symbol of your salvation. You realize that thing tells you everything about salvation that there is, that the dead man goes down in that watery grave and he's buried. See, you got to get buried, you see. See, I think you got to get that old man buried, you know. And he gets buried and then he's raised and that a new creature. But see, the thing about it is, it's when you get saved, that profession of faith, that you put your hope and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He does the killing. He does the burying. And he does the raising. He's the one that does all of it. He died and rose again and was buried and rose again. That's my profession. I trust in Christ. I not only trusted Christ, but I trusted Christ in what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins and was buried, or how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's what I've trusted. That's why if I don't get there, it'll be because he lied. But I'm getting there. I'm holding my profession of faith. You know what this church needs to do? Hold to our profession of faith. Hold fast our profession of faith. Our profession of faith is that anybody can come and get saved. If they'll believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the blessed Son of God, they can get saved. Amen. We believe that. Do you believe that? I want to show you something I've seen this past week. I'd like to take credit for seeing it, but I heard another preacher preaching on it. Take your Bible and go to the book of Leviticus. Chapter 14. I want to show you what Christ Jesus done for us. In Leviticus chapter 14. And this is the cleansing of the leper. And ain't you glad the leper could get cleansed? Amen. I mean, that was a disease. Unless God got involved in, they were going to die of it. And it's representation of sin. I want you to look in chapter 14. Some of this I had seen. Well, God just enlightened my eyes on some things. He said, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp. Where was Christ killed at? He was killed outside the camp, wasn't he? And the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be what? Killed. Well, notice what your Bible says. In an earthen vessel over running water. Can I ask you, well, let me read on. And as for the living bird, he shall take. Do you realize that one bird has to be killed and one bird gets to live? You realize that the bird right here that's got to be killed, how's he got to be killed? He just not wrung his neck. The Bible said right there that he had to be killed in what? In an earthen vessel. Can I ask you this morning, how did Christ Jesus come to us? He come in an earthen vessel, just to be like me and you, just so that he would know and experience the pain and the agony and the oppression and the depression and discouragement and the face temptation. Friend, he came so that he could be like us. Ain't you glad of that today, that Jesus came to be like us? Listen, I'm telling you, he was killed in that earthen vessel. Listen right here, do you realize that, listen, somebody had to die, one of them birds had to die, but if you read on in that story, you'll find out that that other bird got to go free. You know why I'm holding fast my profession of faith, that I've trusted Christ Jesus the Lord as my Savior, and I'm depending on Him, my friend, is because He is the one that died in the earthen vessel so that I could go free today. I love that when I seen that. He came to be like us and to live like us and to take our place, friend, so that we could be different. Hebrews went on to say that we have that great high priest. He said, let us hold fast our profession. Why? For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are. Yet without sin, he knew what it was like to be us. That's why I'm holding my profession of faith. Because of Christ Jesus the Lord. I hold my profession of faith because he said, I could come boldly to the throne of grace and may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Listen, I'm holding on because I've won. You say, are you holding on to salvation? No, I'm holding on to my profession of faith. What I believe today, what I've trusted in, he's holding me. But I'm holding my profession. I'm not giving up on Christ Jesus the Lord. I'm not giving up on what I done when I was 14 years old. Devil might want you to give up. He might want you to be messed up. And he might want you to quit. And he might make you doubt. But friend, I'm holding my profession of faith. Some of you just need to get a profession of faith maybe. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I've trusted him. But I can go boldly to the throne of grace and I can find help. I was reading early this morning. I got up early this morning, earlier than usual. And I got to reading over there in the book of Genesis about Joseph, how they'd sold him off down into slavery. And I got over there to that part where his brothers had come to him and wanted some corn. And they didn't know it was Joseph. And boy, after reading that story right there, right in the middle of it, you know, that already went down there once and he knew who they were. And Benjamin hadn't come down there, that littlest and, you know, that youngest one. And he said, I ain't giving you nothing else unless your brother comes back down here, you know. And they had to talk Jacob into bringing him down there and all that. And we won't go through the whole story, but I got over there to that point. Finally, he revealed himself to his brothers and all that. And he wanted to know if his father was yet alive. And they said, yeah, he's yet alive. And he sent wagons to go get him. Remember what Pharaoh said? Pharaoh said, regard not your stuff. Said, the best of Egypt is yours. All you got to do is just come down here. And we'll give you furniture, couches, and chairs to set in. We'll put an electric stove in your cabin over here and let you have whatever you need. You can have it. But you know what? They run home. And man, you know they were probably excited. I got to thinking about that this morning. I'm sure they were talking all the way home. I really wonder how much they ever told their daddy about what they'd done to Joseph, you know. I wondered about that too, but on the way home, can you imagine the conversation them boys was having with each other? We're going to go home, we're going to tell daddy that Joseph is yet alive. And man, he's going to be tickled to death. You know what? They come busting in the house in there, and somebody ran over there to Jacob and said, Joseph is yet alive down in Egypt, and he's running things. And the Bible said that Jacob didn't believe him. Take your Bible and go to the book of Genesis. I want you to see this and I'm going to move on, okay? But I really want you to see this because this is me a lot of times, okay? Go over to the book of Genesis. And go over to chapter 45, Genesis 45. And look in verse 25. And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. Now you got to remember, these boys found took his coat of many colors and took a kid and put blood on it and went in years ago and told their daddy that Joseph was dead. So all this time, Jacob's been living with the thought that Joseph is dead. Rachel died by the way to Bethlehem. Joseph's been killed. And man, he is just didn't want to give up Benjamin. Remember, he said, if I send Benjamin down there to Egypt, he said that I'm going to go down to my grave in sorrow. But look in verse 26. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. Boy, if you don't believe God's word, your heart will faint every time. How many of us has ever been here? Why do you think that God is repetitious? Is that a word, repetitious? That he's repetitious in the very fact of telling us the same thing over and over and over again in his book. That's to get to me and you to believe it. He tells us to have faith in his word because he wants us to believe it and trust in it. Do you know what God will do sometimes? Look in verse 27. And they told him all the words of Joseph which he had said unto them. He still hadn't believed it yet. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. And I will go and see him before I die. You know what God will do every now and again for me and you? We're holding on. We really want to believe what God's word says. We want to do what God's word says, and I strive to do it. But you know, sometimes we'll fall off our faith if we ain't careful. But every now and again, God will come by and just send us some wagons, won't he? Has he ever done you that way? Some of y'all sat in here today wonder what the preacher's talking about. I mean, if you not ever tried God, you not ever put God to the test, I mean, you not ever found him be tried. I preached on that a couple of weeks ago with Gideon, when Gideon put that fleece out there and God moved for him. And Gideon, God just moved for Gideon to let him see God work. Some of y'all must be super faith, have super faith. I don't have super faith. I struggle in my faith sometimes. Wait on God to move. Wait on God to do something. And you know what? I've seen him do something. I've seen him do more than something. I've seen him move for me personally. I'm telling you, I hold on to those times. Because I'm going to tell you, it's not like that all the time. It's not like that he's going to send them wagons all the time. But I'm telling you, here's that Jacob. I mean, in a place that he's lost his wife, he's lost the son. And by the way, I don't know how to figure all this out, but he loved Joseph the most. He loved Joseph the most. He said, you shouldn't love your children. I don't know what to tell you, but I can tell you this. Jacob loved Joseph the most. And he lost him. And in his mind, he was dead. I'm going to tell you, sometimes God will come by and he'll just show up and that'll help you hold on what you need to hold on to. He said, hold fast your profession. Listen, he goes on. We need to hold on to the gospel, not let anybody take it from us. Well, you know the problem is, I don't think we've let anybody take it from us. I think we've just let it slip away from us. Well, I'm telling you, you know what I got my wagon loaded about last night? That old boy that was preaching. I'm telling you, he was preaching about, now, the one part that he come to was about being real and what we're supposed to be doing. And what we're supposed to be doing as a church is about the gospel. It ain't about the preach. Now, I know we're supposed to disciple and all that, but I'm telling you, we tend to forget about the gospel sometimes. He said, beloved, when I gave y'all diligence to write unto you about the common salvation, it was a need for me to write unto you and exhort that you should earnestly contend for the faith which is once delivered unto the saints. I'm not sure anybody's trying to take it from us. We're just giving it to them. We're giving it up. It's Christ Jesus the Lord that makes a difference in your life. And it's Christ Jesus the Lord that will make a difference in this world's life out here this morning. We need to be telling them the gospel. What was it that he said in the book of Hebrews? He said in Hebrews chapter, in Hebrews 10, he said, let us hold fast our profession of faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. You know why I can just keep on holding on to what I believed and what I know to believe? Because God's been faithful all these years. He's been faithful. If I didn't have a God who was faithful, if I didn't have a God that moved in my life, if I didn't have a God that I couldn't see move, I'd begin to wonder about some things. I need to hold fast to our profession. I need to hold fast to our instruction. Proverbs chapter 4 said, take hold fast of instruction. Let her not go. I keep her, for she is thy life. There's the instruction. He said, hold fast to instruction. Listen, you know why I believe the King James Bible? There's a lot of reasons I believe it's King James Bible. I believe that God, starting, was it with William Tyndale, come all the way through and got us into the English version, and it's the seventh English speaking Bible that I hold in my hand today. Talked to young adults on that not too long ago, a year or two ago, about this scripture and the wording of it and how it works and all the different English versions that we've had. And some of them, let me rephrase this right here and get it right. When you come past this King James Bible, and I know when this goes on the radio, hey, a lot of people ain't going to like it, but the rest of them ain't Bibles. I believe I've got a perfect book in front of me today. Amen? Amen? Are you with me today? I mean, it's good to talk about our profession of faith, but when you start talking about instruction, you're going to have to take a stand. You know, those people think we're ignorant and dumb for believing a King James Bible. They think that. I ain't ignorant and dumb for it. I just believe it. Amen. I'm holding fast to where I get my instruction. And I'm going to tell you, that's a problem that some people have today. That may be the problem you have. I don't know. Is you don't want instruction. You don't want instruction. You don't want to live like that book tells you how to live. Let me put my glasses on. Boy, we're shouting now, ain't we? You don't want to live like this book says to live. You don't want to be faithful. You don't want to be found faithful. You don't want to come to church all the time. You don't want to live a Christian life all the time when you live out of here. You want to watch what you want to watch. You want to read what you want to read. You want to dress the way you want to dress. Bunch of rebels. That's what we are sometimes. You know, she preacher said we right there. And when we won't receive instruction, that's what we are. It's just a bunch of rebels. He said to hold fast to instruction. He said take fast hold of instruction. You remember Miss Latham's definition meant to hold on for dear life. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's proper for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You want instruction in your life? Comes out of this book. You don't want instruction in your life? Still comes out of this book. You need to hold fast to it. Bible said in Titus 1 and 9, when he's talking about the pastor, but it applies to all of us, he said, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught. You need to hold fast the word. Your instruction. When we read it, we need to make application of it. The devil wants to come by and snatch it away. Is that not what he done with the sower over there in Matthew 13? When the seed fell by the wayside, the fowls of the air come by and snatched them up. And when he gave us the interpretation on that, a little bit later when he told us the meaning of all that, that it was Satan that come by and snatched away that word. I'm going to tell you, I know he's talking about salvation right there. But I'll tell you this, that he'll come by and snatch it away from you if you'll let him. People you work with, people in your family, will want to come by and snatch away the Word of God in your life and tell you, you ain't got to live like that. You ain't got to do that. The school system's telling your children, no, they ain't got to live like, hey, I wouldn't take nothing from the school system today. Not a word. Hey, moms and dads, look at me. Let me put my glasses on again. Look at me. It's your responsibility to raise your children. It's not even my responsibility to raise your children. Now, I'm going to preach to them, and I'm going to tell them the truth, and these Sunday school teachers are going to tell them the truth, and we're going to encourage them, and we're going to love on them, but it's your responsibility, it's your home to raise your children. You've got them a lot longer than I've got them. I was listening to the preacher last night. I'm going to tell you this. This old boy was preaching last night. He was something else. I'm like, Lord, help us. We're going to get him down here and let him preach to us. But I'm going to tell you, he's been where he's at for 6 years. Now, he's been pastoring for 20. He's been there for six. And in 6 years, they're building a new sanctuary and started a Christian school in 6 years. And he's went from 8 people in that Christian school to going to have 100 next year. In 6 years. That old boy's doing something for the Lord up there. But you know what? He said, people told me, don't do that. He said, everybody around told me, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do any of those things. Just send them on to public school. I know everybody's got their own idea about public school, and we've got teachers and all that. He said, look, I've got 4 Christian school teachers in my church and 4 public school teachers in my church. You need light everywhere. And I agree. Amen. I agree with that. We need to have light everywhere, don't we? If we only kept the light in here, then only people that come in here would know about the light, wouldn't they? We become keepers of the aquarium, hadn't we? Instead of being fishers of men. The world will tell you to let go of your instruction. They'll try to take it from you. If you ain't careful, you'll just let it go. We need to be holding on to it for dear life. You remember when I had a hold of that thing, Jeremiah was trying to take it from me? I meant to tell him, don't shoot me to take it from me. It's afraid he might shoot me in the toe or something. If it's important enough to hold on to, don't you think it's important enough to do? You know, I get up here and make a big deal about having a King James Bible, and oh, you ought to read it every day, and you ought to follow it, and you, I ought to just obey what it has to say. And I'll fight you tooth and nail over this book right here about how that it's the truth. And at the end of the day, if you can't believe it any other way, just believe it by faith. I can give you every reason why I believe that this is the Word of God. But if you can't believe it for any other reason, just put your faith in this book. Why? I've seen it work too. Have you not seen it work? Have you not seen the Word of God work? I've seen it work in both directions. Go over and read the book of Proverbs. It talks about what happens to righteous people when they follow God. He'll tell us what happens. And then he tells us that if they don't, he'll tell us what happens. Is there anybody in here who don't believe the Word of God? Now, before you answer, let me say this. I'm going to hit you in the nose as hard as I can. Why? The Bible said that the churning of the mint bringeth forth butter and the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. Come up here and let me punch you in the nose. Now let's see if the Word of God's right. It's right, friend. Now that's a little funny, ha-ha. How many of us has ever busted our nose or had it busted? I was under a house one time working. We was putting in some plumbing. A real good friend of mine had built onto his house, and we were tying the plumbing together, and I was under the short part of the house, and I was laying on my belly, and we'd knocked a hole in there, and he was talking to me through that pipe, that 4-inch pipe. Well, it got in my way. It's about 10, 15 feet apart there, and he's talking to me in that pipe, and I just reached up there and just took that pipe and just shoved it out of my way. Well, you know where his mouth and his nose, and I mean, I busted him a good one right there, man. Not only brings forth the blood, it'll hurt too. Can I tell you that it's this book right here We need to not only believe that it's the Word of God, but then we need to do it. Listen, it's this book teaches us about holiness and righteousness. It teaches us why we're saved, but then it teaches us how to act after we got saved. You need to hold to that. You need to cling to that. I wish to God that somebody would have taught me about holiness and righteousness when I first got saved. He said, the Holy Spirit, sure He was there. But I'm just telling you, I wish somebody would have guided me and helped me in that right there. Or somebody would have taught me that, hey, you're going to have a problem out of your flesh and you need to get it under control. It's a fight. And by the way, you can get it under control. You mortify that thing. That means kill it. Amen? You mortify your flesh. You can serve it if you want to. I don't want to serve it. I don't want to serve my flesh. I've got enough problems in my flesh. But it teaches us about righteousness and holiness. It teaches us how to have peace. Great peace have they which love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. It keeps us from messing up. I thought about this scripture Brother Jeff had talked about before in the book of Proverbs. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But the simple I pass on and is punished. You know, you find that at least twice in the book of Proverbs. I think twice. Once in Proverbs 22 and once in Proverbs 27. Once would have been good enough, but he tells us twice, verbatim, that a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. How do we foresee the evil? Our instruction. Hold fast to that thing. Hold fast to it. Now, I read this at the last. Revelations chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, and I'll go to verse 7. It talks about the church at Philadelphia. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia, write, these things saith he that is holy and that is true, and he that hath the key of David, and he that openeth no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them come and worship before thy feet, to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. That's another reason I don't think we're going through the tribulation period. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Then he went on to say, him that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from God. And I will write upon him my new name. Well, thank God for that. Notice what he told the church here at Philadelphia. Behold, I come quickly. Behold fast. Behold fast. Hold fast. Hold that fast. Man, we'll get it. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Number 3, we hold our profession of faith. We hold our instruction, and now we hold our possession. He said to do what? He said, hold that fast which thou hast. What did they have? Now listen, we're not holding to the gospel and the fact that we're keeping ourselves. He's doing that. But you know, you go back and you look, he said, I know thy works. He said, I know what you're doing. He said, you keep on doing what you're doing. Let me tell you, if you're serving God today and you're faithful to God, just keep on being faithful. Just keep on doing. Church, we need, not only do we need to keep doing what we're doing, but we just need to keep on doing more. We're winding this thing up. Do you realize that? This thing is winding to an end. And I want to be found faithful to the very end. Listen, we just need to keep on doing in our works, in our faithfulness for Him. What did He say? I know thy works. He said, I've opened the door before you. He said, you've got a little strength. He said, keep on doing. He said, in your little strength, He said, keep on doing what you're doing. You've got an opportunity afforded in front of you. It may not seem that big. You know, a lot of times we're looking for the big work, the great work, the work that just seems so monstrous and so great big, when really, friend, God is just wanting us to do that little thing. And He'll make something big out of it. Our living right and pleasing God. Loving our neighbors right. Trusting God. than our faith in Him. We need to hold on to what we possess. Our love one for another, we need to hold on to at this church. We need to hold on to our possessions, what we have. He said that no man can take thy crown. You realize now He's talking about having a reward now. So somebody could come by and take our crown that we would lose a reward. You remember a firm grip or to hold on for dear life. I'm holding on to that thing. I want to hold on to my possessions that I have in Him. I don't want to give up anything. You know, I want to be like the Apostle Paul. When this thing's said and done, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I have kept the faith. Are you going to be able to say that? You said, well, preacher, we ain't going to know till we get to the end. If you died right now, would you be able to say it? I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. I want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You know, we all talk about that. Boy, when we get to heaven, we're going to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. No, we might get to heaven, but are we going to hear that? I mean, there's no guarantee that's going to happen, friend. We just think it's going to happen. That plagues me some days. I want to hold fast. I want to hold fast to old time religion. I think I don't care about what any other church is doing. Oh, let me say this. Let me back up. I do too. If they're winning folk to Christ, one, I want to know how they're doing it. Two, I know how they're doing it. If they're really winning them to Christ, they're giving them the gospel. You know, I had one fellow tell me one time, he said, we baptized, I forget how many they baptized in 1 year, you know, because of all the professions of faith. And he said, not all them people probably got saved. I can't make that decision. You know, it's like anybody comes to this altar to get saved or get saved anywhere else. I mean, that's between them and God. But I'll guarantee you, if there is a change that shows up out of their life, I'd say they're saved. Amen. If there's not a change, I'd begin scratching my head and wonder, because I know what the Bible says. But you know what he told me? He said, this wasn't even the pastor. He was just a deacon at this church. He said, but you know, all them folk we had saved in that year and in those years coming up, and our church was growing, and it was growing because they were winning people to Christ. He said, nobody came and asked us what we were doing. Nobody seemed to even care about how we were winning people to Christ. You know, they were winning people to Christ. They were going out and they were knocking on people's doors. And they were witnessing to people. And they were inviting people to come to church. You know, the old saying is, if you want something to change, then you're going to have to change things. You know, the definition of insanity is to do the same thing over and over and over again and expect a different result. The only place that works at is in preaching. We preach the same old message, but it's God that does the work, you know. We need to hold fast to what we've got, our possession in Christ, our profession of faith, our instruction, but what we have in Him. I believe old-time religion works, friend. After I got saved, I can't explain it, I don't understand it. But my heart, I was drawn to old-time religion. Now, some of y'all know what I'm talking about right there. Okay? I like these old songs. I grew up in a church that was more formal. But man, when I got saved, something changed inside of me. I'm not telling you them folk ain't saved. I believe they love God. I'm just telling you, I just got attracted to old-time religion. Something happened in my heart that drawed me that direction. I just want to hold on. You know, old-time Bible preaching, old-time singing, where folk pray all week and come to church and they're already ready to go to meeting by the time they get here. And the preacher had it right. We don't have to pump up and prime up and be a cheerleader. Just stand up and preach and God comes by. Let's bow our heads this morning if we would. Brother Marvin, you just come and play this morning. Brother Jeff, let's get a verse of invitation if you would. Are we holding fast, church? I don't know what you're going to do with this message, but I pray it's been a blessing to help to you. Are we holding fast? Holding fast to instruction. Holding fast to our possession. But holding fast to our profession of faith. Do you have a profession of faith? Who did you believe in when you got saved? What did you do to get saved? It's Church, we need to hold. I'm going to tell you what it means to get saved. That means you come to a place that you realize that you were lost and that you as a sinner and Christ died for you. And if you'll trust Him and ask Him to save you, He'll save you today. It's that simple. I come to a realization one Sunday night a long time ago that I was lost and I needed a Savior, and I come to Christ. And all that I knew, I was thinking about this the other day, church, while I was mowing the yard. I was thinking about this, that night that I went to pray. I'd never really ever prayed in my life. Oh, I'd went to the altar, but I'd never really prayed in my life. But I remember that night, I just begged God to save me. And on the authority of His word, He done it. And the joy that's in my heart, and watching Him prove Himself over and over and over again, He's been faithful to me all these years. Are we holding on, church? Are we slowly but surely letting things get out of our grip? Just letting it slip away. Making our stand and taking our stand. You say, well, there's so much against us. And listen, that don't mean nothing. We're to make our stand and make our voice be heard. Right's still right and wrong's still wrong, church. Our possession, we're to hold on to that thing, our instruction. Thus saith the word of God. That's what matters today. Are we holding fast to the things that God has gave us and being found faithful in Him? I hope so. Heavenly Father, I pray that You'll help during this invitation. Save somebody that's lost today. Encourage somebody that needs encouragement. And if folk need to come, I pray they'll come. And they'll find what they need at this altar today. We'll tell you again that we love you for this in Jesus' name. Helping this invitation. Amen.